If you hike in the backcountry, sooner or later you'll have to cope with your need to go to the bathroom in a place where there just isn't one. An improper placement can spread disease in the most pristine of waters. Outdoorswoman Kathleen Meyer realized that no one had addressed the problem directly, so she wrote a book with the matter-of-fact title, How to Shit in the Woods, that offers a variety of comfortable and ecologically sound ways to take care of human solid waste.
This book grew out of my experience in the early 70s guiding whitewater rafting trips and finding that a lot of people from the city on their first trips were having a lot of trouble with elimination in the outback. And they were embarrassed about it, uncomfortable, they weren't enjoying it at all. And the other half of it was a concern for the environment in that we don't pollute the waterways. And something very disheartening has happened in the last several years. At least it's come to our notice that Giardia has polluted all the surface waters in the world. The Center for Disease Control tells us that none of the waters are safe anymore.
And what exactly is Giardia?
Giardia lamblia is a little protozoan that has a two-stage life cycle, and the cyst stage is dormant, and it can survive in an outside environment, particularly in cold water. It can survive for some time, and it's a fecal-oral pass disease. In other words, it's eliminated in the feces of one animal and then ingested through the mouth of another, of a new host. And it's now spread throughout the animal kingdom. There's a great debate as to whether it's been out there all the time and we're just now beginning to diagnose it properly, or whether it's something that has been introduced into the outback within the last 20 years.
So in other words, if you wanted to go into the outback of the High Sierra or the Rocky Mountains and dip a cup into a clear mountain stream, you run the risk of ingesting
That's right. The concentrations are greater in some areas than others, and you could still pull out a clean cup of water. And my point is that humans, whether we're responsible for this or not, need to be aware that with the way we jet set travel these days, that we're very capable of transporting diseases from one continent to another much faster than it would spread through the animal kingdom. And we need to be really responsible and scrupulous about how we deal with our human waste in the outback.
Uh-huh. What are the symptoms of Giardia?
Giardia actually has symptoms, the same symptoms of a lot of intestinal disturbances. There's bloating and cramping, and usually accompanied by abdominal distension. Diarrhea, and usually rather foul-smelling loose stools. And it can become chronic, and it's treatable with medicine nowadays, and you should, if you think you have it, you should see a doctor for stool testing and to get some prescription medication.
Have you ever had Giardia yourself?
No, I haven't. Not that I know of. There are asymptomatic carriers who don't ever know that they have it, and I could be one of those. Or it's possible that some flu I had at some point was Giardia, but to my knowledge, I've never had it.
Well, since the 1960s, if you went on a river trip in the Grand Canyon, wasn't all human waste have to be packed out in watertight boxes?
Yes, since 1979, they started an environmental impact report requires that you pack out all human waste. Now, this is not urine, but all solid human waste.
Has this had a measurable effect on the health of the Colorado River?
Well, I'm sure with the amount of people going down the Colorado River and the minimal beach space there, that it would be horrendous if it wasn't being done.
Your work as a river guide has been to take urban escapees on these holiday trips down rivers. What have you noticed about their behavior in the woods when they're suddenly out there without the modern comforts of sanitation?
Well, I think whenever anyone asks me where this book started, I remember this one woman. I don't know who she was, but I get this real visual on her. And she, I was headed upstream to find my own bush that evening, and I stepped into a clearing and stumbled upon her. And she was sort of torqued over backwards, trying to suspend her bottom in midair, and her pants were wrapped around her ankles, and she couldn't move. And I felt sorry for her and sort of tossed out a suggestion as I scurried on through the bushes. And I think that people are uncomfortable if they don't have the bathroom door to close and lock behind them. There's even a condition of nervous constipation that takes place with people that just can't seem to eliminate unless they are in their own bathroom.
How did you choose the title for the book? It's certainly unambiguous.
Well, I was hesitant to start with a four-letter expletive because I didn't want to offend people, and I felt I had a serious message, and I wanted it to get out. But in the end, I'm just much more comfortable being direct about it, and once I became direct about it, it got to be a funny subject. It's hard to tell jokes about dry subjects like with clinical language such as stools and elimination. And the major response that we get is of relief. There have only been a few people so far that have been disgusted with it. And in fact, I'll get little ladies, sweet elderly ladies in their purple gingham and lace collars that will just come up and say, "Oh, let me tell you about the time, dear, that this happened to me." In fact, the cover with the four-letter word on it is selling 10 to 1 to the cover that has it deleted. My publisher has put out two covers.
What drew you to the woods in the first place?
Oh, I started, I went on a commercial whitewater rafting trip as a passenger, and I had always been a water person. I grew up sailing small boats, and then I had taken whitewater canoeing, and I got into the rafting and started doing it commercially, and then I got into environmental politics, and one of the things that I did in the early 70s was to row a kayak from up in the Sierras all the way down to Aquatic Park in San Francisco, and with a group of people that were trying to save the Stanislaus River, and that was our way of getting some grassroots publicity on the front page of the Chronicle.
That was a river that the Corps of Engineers wanted to dam.
That's right. Yeah.
Did the protest work?
The protests worked fine. We got $100,000 of front page coverage, but we lost the battle in the end. It took about 10 years, and the Stanislaus is now under a reservoir.
I understand you live on a wagon train now?
Well, I live in a I live in a covered wagon. This is true. We just finished, my partner and I, Patrick, just finished the Montana Centennial Wagon Train, 5.5 weeks of going through the Rocky Mountains, over the Continental Divide, and through terrain that you couldn't get a four-wheel drive through. It was quite something. And we intend to travel now in our wagon that we restored. And probably next summer we'll head across Wyoming.
How is your wagon powered? What pulls it?
We have a team of big draft horses that we've worked since early spring trying to get them hardened up so that they could make the trip and not be sore. And their names are Poncho and Lefty.
And are you going across routes that the Conestoga wagons crossed in the 19th century?
Yes, the organization that the Montana Draft Horse Club had studied these routes for 3 years and gone over portions of them each year to make sure that it was very well put together. It's funny that a lot of the original routes are now, they were the easiest routes through the mountains, and they are now paved highways or the interstates, so that we tried to stay off the pavement as much as we could, so we would end up not taking the exact routes that the pioneers did.
Are you prepared to live year-round in a covered wagon?
No, I'm not. It's not too warm in a covered wagon in Montana winter. So we're going to hold up somewhere for the winter, hopefully somewhere where we can use the team to feed elk or cattle, and then we'll start out again in the spring.
Well, Kathleen Meyer, thank you very much for coming in and being on Fresh Air with us today.
Thank you, Sid.